Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, what an unbelievable treat we have. Not only is our guest today a world record holder for the 1 mile run in a bomb suit, which weighs almost 100 pounds, she's done it multiple times on every con all over the world. Just an absolute, complete badass. And we've continued to cross paths throughout our Army career, but never had a conversation until today. So stoked to have Katie Hernandez. Katie, thank you so much for coming on the Got Your Six podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
And I even forgot to mention, we're both from Western New York. So, like, obviously, excitement is through the roof. I think the best place to start isn't, like, asking you to tell your story, but to kind of talk about what brought you into the military. You came into the military because you wanted to compete in a push-up contest.
Very close, yeah. Basically, I was in upstate New York. I was going to SUNY Brockport at the time, and a recruiter had his table out, and there was a pull-up bar, and he goes, "You look like you can do some pull-ups." And I was like, "Okay." He's like, "Come win a free t-shirt." It's like, "Okay." So I went over, did some pull-ups, got my t-shirt. He's like, "You're perfect for the military, sign here." And it happened that fast.
Wild. And then not only do you go into the military, right? You go into EOD, which, for those who don't know, please explain kind of what that's like. That pipeline is fairly substantial.
Yeah. So EOD, Explosive Ordnance Disposal, or Army's Bomb Squad. Basically, it is over a year of intense training to the point where you're testing every 2 days. And when you're testing, failing is an 84. And if you mess up, it is a 16-point hit. So if you do the math, you mess up once, you fail, which is in line with what we do. Our motto is initial success or total failure. So we train that way. So school is about, you know, a year and some change in Eglin, Florida. And it was the most challenging but rewarding experience of my life.
How have you started to apply that mindset, right, the way you train, into your normal, like, day-to-day life?
I think there is a sense of pride, for sure. So when you're going through that school, you have to be there for the right reasons. If you genuinely don't have an internal reason for being there, that school will eat you up. And so I think what I do apply to every day is just having that sense of pride. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the cliche making your bed with pride, or just, you know, your 9 to 5, or even if I was a waitress, like, I would do it with pride. It's just one of those things. And that school really taught me that.
What was your reason for going in? Like, what allowed you to, like, step into the door and say, "This is why I'm here"?
So, interesting enough, I don't think my why really came until a couple weeks after being at that school. Every day when you drive in, there is the EOD Memorial. And what it is 4 walls. And then on every wall, there's the different service, Army, Navy, Air Force, and the Marines. And if an EOD tech is KA, their name goes up on the wall. And early on in that school, I got to attend one of the ceremonies, and it all sunk in. And I felt the weight of it. I felt this, like, huge burning, like, you know, feeling in my chest of, like, "Oh my God, this is why I'm here." And then every single day after that, I would drive on to the schoolhouse grounds, see the memorial, and just, like, it almost brought you to tears every day, because you know why you're there. You're there for the, you know, names on that wall. You're there for, you know, the family members of the people on the wall. You're there for everyone at the schoolhouse. You're there for, you know, it just builds.
And you've continued to take on those, well, I don't even want to call them pressures, but, like, other organizations that are about family and building mental health, most specifically recently with the Human Performance Project. Talk about what that is all about.
So yes, so the Human Performance Project, or the 7X Project, the goal was to raise funds and awareness for mental health and suicide prevention amongst veterans and first line responders and just in general. And what our goal was to do was take 62 people and deplete them of their energy, their mental state, their emotional state, wipe them out. And how, when we return, do we get back to homeostasis or our true north? And so that was what the whole project was about. We had a couple different groups. We had marathon runners, and they ran 7 marathons in 7 days, 7 different countries. They were phenomenal athletes. Just being around them was just inspiring. And like I said, there were 62 people on this trip. And you really felt this sense of family and this sense of connection with every single person on that trip. And that's kind of rare. Like, if you think about being in a room with 60 plus people, what are the odds that you're going to fall in love, friendship, and, you know, have this eternal, like, you know, relationship for the rest of your life? Like, that doesn't happen in 7 days. So yeah, my little piece, Ryan Birdman Parrott, he was, you know, ex-Navy SEAL. So this is his baby. And we were talking before the trip, and he was like, hey, why don't you bring your bomb suit and run a mile on every country? And I was like, I can do that. And he's like, yeah, why not? So he gave me the creative freedom to do that. He encouraged me to do that. And yeah, it was amazing to help contribute to the overall cause, and then specifically raise awareness for the EUD community itself.
Where did you first come up and say, like, hey, I want to go break this record?
So, and it's funny, today is the 2-year anniversary. So the EUD record, originally, my friend Ashley Sorensen, she was a captain at the Penn Glaciers captain. We were both stationed in Hawaii, and she was my mentor. And I remember her beating the record while we were there. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, like, we were teammates. We played rugby together and kind of forgot about it. And then when I was in command 2 years ago, it popped up on social media. It was like, anybody wanting to come out for the world record, sign up here. And I was like, you know what, Ash, it's time. So I texted her. I was like, hey, I think I'm going to try to take this from you. And just, you know, playful banter. But she was so supportive from the start. She was there on, you know, the day that I broke it, and it was great. But at first it was something for fun. And then it morphed into, oh, we can do something great with this. And so the focus then became raising funds and awareness for mental health and suicide prevention.
When did it switch to you understanding, like, this is something greater than what I thought it was going in?
So I didn't really tell anybody I was doing it. I signed up for it and just kind of kept it to myself. Started training a little bit. At the time, I really wasn't big on social media or anything. So I think it was the traction. When people started noticing what I was doing and started getting on board, and a lot of people felt a lot of, like, you know, inspiration from just the act itself. And when I started seeing that, and then all of the, you know, little organizations for veteran support and all these things, they started reaching out. I was like, oh shit, like, this is way bigger than myself. And no matter what happens, I will die trying to get across that finish line for everybody else that's here and supporting me.
How did you kind of keep, as you continue to show up, right, and continue to run the miles with the bomb suit, right? How do you continue to, like, not allow the moment to get bigger than it is?
For me, I showed up like 2 hours before kickoff, and there was no one there. I just wanted some peace and quiet. My first sergeant was actually my P2, so he was the one getting me off in the bomb suit, taking it off.
Explain the P2 concept for those who don't know.
Yeah, so EOD, we work in teams of 2, team leader, team member. So when the team leader is getting in and out of the suit, the team member is helping us do that. You can't really put the bomb suit on by yourself. You definitely need that help and support. And my first sergeant was with me every Friday running in that suit. Rain, we were in Fort Campbell, so it's rain, snow, 90 degrees, 100% humidity, whatever the case was. And then I would have, you know, soldiers, like my guys in my unit at the time, they'd come out and support me, and they would, you know, run my pace with me, and they'd, you know, hold the clock. Like, it was such an awesome experience.
And then how have you continued, like, as you move and progress up through the ranks in the Army, how have you continued to, like, have that momentum and find that sense of community who continue to rally around you?
So I think for me, it's just kind of finding things that fire me up and like ignite my soul. And when you do that on your own, you just inherently are surrounded by like-minded people. So if you're constantly, you know, trying to better yourself and help others and like putting yourself in those situations, like you find people that are like you. And then all of a sudden you're surrounded by a bunch of incredible people. You know, everyone I think knows that quote, like you're the sum of the six closest people that, you know, you hang around. But like when you expand that to like your whole community and like that's your network, it's a pretty awesome place to be.
What's firing up your soul right now?
A couple things. The first being we for the 7X project are getting back together into Antarctica in November. So we have this like group chat of 60 plus people. And we are constantly firing back and forth like, hey, how's everyone doing? How are the kids? People are sending pictures. And we couldn't be more involved in each other's lives. I think there was something like six authors. We all bought each other's books. Like everybody's been, it's just like, oh, it's my birthday and happy birthday and all these things. And like, it's, seriously, they're like my family now. I actually lived with a couple of them when I got back because of the situation I found myself in. They took me in and I was like at home. So that's pretty cool. We're still like keeping in touch and we got something to look forward to there. And then the other thing that I'm involved with right now is called Tip of the Spear. And now Tip of the Spear is demining. So landmines, explosives, stuff like that, that are in the ground, removing them. I'm part of an organization that is currently overseas in the Ukraine and they are demining agricultural land, so farmland, so that the farmers can till the land still safely. And every day, stacks of landmines. And so I'm obviously still in uniform, so I'm not on the ground doing that, but I'm part of the organizational process with that. Just a cool group of people that just are literally risking their life for the better good.
You have to put yourself, like you said, in challenging situations and really be true to yourself. How do you kind of question when you're not being authentic to remain true to not only where you need to go and find your true north, but find your community?
Can you rephrase the question?
Yes. Absolutely. How do you call your own bullshit?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think you feel it. I feel like you like fall into your funks. And like, I think I have some solid people that will call me out. It's basically looking in the mirror every day and like, are you okay with the person staring back at you? And like, if you're like, and that's a fine line, right? Because sometimes you fall into ruts where you're just like, man, I am not putting my best foot forward. And sometimes that's life, right? Like you kind of have to go up, there's downs. And so trying to find that balance, I think for me that what I struggle with the most is trying to find that balance. Like I love to dive into projects and when I go into something, it's all in. But where do I get my, you know, me time and how do I like feather that and just be like, okay with the quiet? That's where I struggle.
So let's talk about that real quick. How do you sit in that silence or in that stillness, giving yourself grace to just kind of exist and not have to like do 10 different things?
That's a great question. That is a phenomenal question. And I think I'm still working on that. Yeah, I keep myself really busy. And so I think when, even like if it's like, you know, I go to the gym on Sundays and the rest of the Sunday, I really have free. And so like, even just like Sunday, like mid-morning tonight, I'm just like, okay, it is okay to sit here and just kind of relax and kind of reset for the week. And, you know, then I get like I call them the Sunday scaries because then my mind's on overdrive because I'm just sitting there. I'm like, okay, all the things I have to do this week, you know? So when I start to get really overwhelmed or I can't sleep at night because my head's going, I like to box breathe, which is basically if you count to six, inhale, hold it at the top for six, exhale for the six, and then hold it at the bottom for six, box breathing. That's what I do to really calm myself down.
How many sets are you doing when it comes to box breathing?
Until I feel my heart rate come down. Like I know when my heart rate's starting to like spike or my brain's going, and I just kind of fall into this like nice rhythmic pattern breathing. And when I'm like, ah, okay, I feel better. Or I'm like, okay, I can fall asleep now. So I do it as long as it takes, as long as I need to.
So you're able to kind of sit in that discomfort more or less until you're able to work through that. That's super powerful.
Yeah. Breath is everything. And, you know, whether we're talking physical fitness, running, lifting, you know, just going through life, like, to me, the best asset that you can have control over is your breath.
So how do you continue to, like, remind yourself of that, especially when maybe it's not a Sunday night and you're getting ready for the week, but, like, at peak moments, right? Because you're in the bomb suit running a mile or out, you know, deployed somewhere in the world. How do you find your breath?
Yeah. So if it's not, like, focused on my breathing, like, if I need a moment, so if, like, before a big event or before a big competition or, you know, before I'm doing something deployed, I'll go to the bathroom. I'll look myself in the mirror and just stare at myself and just be like, you can do this. And it's like, I'm talking to myself and it's just like, let's go fucking do it and take a deep breath and just get out there and just perform. I love performing under pressure. Like, you know, some people are, you know, practice all stars. I'm like an okay practice person. Like, you know, like when I go to the gym every day and I CrossFit and stuff, like I'm okay. But when it's time to like show up and throw down, like I love that feeling.
It's that like adrenaline that's just kind of like running through your veins. Like you're just, you're excited. And then you just, like you said, you just go.
Yeah. I think it's just like, for example, in 2 weeks, I'm participating in a, it's called the Tactical Games and a competition. It's a two gun pistol rifle and CrossFit. And for me, when I show up, I know that that is the most prepared that I will be in that moment. There's nothing more I can do to prepare at that time. But I've done so many hours of preparation at that point. So regardless of how I, you know, do in the rankings, that is where I am at. And so for me, it's like I put so much time and effort, blood, sweat, tears type of stuff into building up to where I'm at currently. So let's go show it off. Like, let's like not let that be for nothing. Let's not show up and then like, you know, fumble. Like I've put time into this and no, I might not be number one or podium or whatever, but that's what I've put into it thus far. So let's just like, let's show what we've, you know, been doing, what we've been working on.
I, for the Sixers listening and everything, like to be able to get to that point, right? You've had to have had massive success and also massive setbacks along the way.
100%.
What setback do you look at and be like, this one is the one that I'm most proud of that has allowed me to get to where I am today?
So I take a lot of pride in putting my heart and mind and soul into something. If there's something that I want, I go 100% in. And that was true when I went through Ranger School. I don't think I've ever trained so hard. I've never invested so much time. I've never, like, my heart and my soul were in that school. And now I was there for 106 days, 10 days away from graduating, and it didn't happen. For whatever the reason, that's a whole nother story, but it didn't happen. And I did not get my tab. And out of my, you know, 32 years, that was the one thing in my life that completely broke my heart. It, like, it shattered me. I went back and was just, I was depressed. I was like, I didn't want to work out. It really, like, I joke that I'm like, my heart's still in Dahlonega, Georgia. Like, like going through mountains a couple times, like, yeah, it's still there. And then actually a mutual friend of ours, Nikki Harrell.
Shout out to Nikki.
Yep. Nikki Harrell. She showed up at my house about a month after I was back. And she was like, come on, bud, I'm going to introduce you to CrossFit. And I was like, I don't want to go to CrossFit. That's for losers. Blah, blah, blah. Showed up, fell in love with CrossFit. And yeah, the rest is history.
Now, when you fell in love with CrossFit, and this is going to go, we're going in the Wayback Machine. You did Murph. I think I want to say it was like 2017. Was that the first CrossFit workout that you kind of got introduced to?
Sure was. And I was not expecting that at all. It was like 100, 200, 300 push-ups and running and all the things. And I do it every year now. But I was not expecting that. I was not prepared. I think I was like, I was sore for, you know, I think I'm still sore from that first Murph, but it was bad.
So it was really go looking and having those people who recognized inside of you, like, hey, you got to dust yourself off. And then you're like, absolutely, I can do this. I've suffered setback. It's time to continue to move forward.
Yeah. And how awesome is that? Like that, you know, we have people in our lives that know when to be like, hey, you should take some time and deal with your emotions and sit in them. But you also have those same people that are like, all right, snap out of it. Let's go. Like, do your hair, get some clothes on, let's go. You know, like it's awesome to have somebody in your life that can do that for you.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up, Katie, I just have to ask one final question. How are you better today than yesterday?
So for me, it's all in the details, right? You know, that cliche 1% better every day, but I live by that. So showing up, being committed to your crafts, whatever they are, even if you just, you know, showed up at the gym and just did a little something, that's a little something that you did that if you didn't show up, that you would not have done. So for me, it's just like all the little habits that you form throughout the day, making sure that what you commit to, you follow through with. So like I said, you're not making leaps and bounds every day. But for me, it's in the details, like all those little habits that you form over time. So for me, it's the little habits that I do consistently. And, you know, even when I'm not motivated, I'm disciplined enough to do it, you know?
What was the little habit today that you weren't motivated to get after, but you did anyway?
The 3-mile run with my cadets this morning at a 6-minute pace. My cadets, they're amazing. I'm an ROTC instructor right now. And, you know, like leading PT as instructors, we can choose whether to instruct or to join in if we're feeling froggy. And this morning we split up into ability group runs and I was like, fuck it. I'll run with you guys today. And they really do love when you run with them, but it's just kind of like, oh, it's Monday. It's, you know, it's early, but, and you know, I go to the gym for myself at night. So for me today was running with my cadets and showing them that I can still hang with them.
That's awesome. Katie, where can people go to learn more about you and the projects that you're all part of?
Yeah, probably the best would be Instagram at katie.m.hernandez.
Awesome. We will make sure we link in the show notes. Katie, thank you so much for sharing your methods, your strategies, your tactics, and most importantly, thanks for having our six. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Look forward to seeing you too.
Sixers, Bruce Lee said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." I hear that and I think of the team over at Bridgebuilt. I own a Phoenix squat rack, and it is the absolute ultimate piece of gym equipment that I have at the house. Heavy-duty construction, versatile design, and the ability to fold up for limited space. Not to the wall, not to the floor. You just fold it up on wheels, move it wherever it needs to go. Head over to bridgebuild.com and upgrade your gym today to the Phoenix squat rack. Hey Sixers, did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. If you got something out of this, be a battle buddy. Share with a friend, pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.